This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
In the studio with us at the moment is Timothy Harris from Isle of Wight Glass Studio, or Studio Glass, I should say. Welcome, because I'm very excited to see you here, because I actually thought that Isle of Wight Glass had disappeared, and it hasn't, Timothy.
No, not at all.
That's fantastic. You've actually just changed where you are.
Yes, we've just relocated, really. We had a traumatic time in 2012. Due some financial influences, as well as the road closure, really was the major one, the Undercliff Drive.
Because you were in St Lawrence, weren't you?
Correct.
So that means that there's a road that goes, for people who don't know, that goes between St Lawrence and Knighton.
It starts in Ventnor and ends in Knighton.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the main way through. But unfortunately, half of it sort of slipped away, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And slowly, probably the first slide sort of happened 8-10 years ago. They did various feasibility studies, wasn't really going to work what they were planning on doing. All the other businesses closed, slowly moved away, so we were the only ones left, so it became very difficult.
Because I used to come and see you and your dad there 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah, you would have done. I mean, it may have been longer than that, because dad's been gone longer.
Oh, blimey. But, well,
it's it's been a difficult time, I suppose, because it was my heritage, and moving from one place to another is quite hard.
There's
all those memories and things of dad and learning and stuff and working with all those other people. But you have to, financially, from a business point of view, you have to make a move.
Yeah.
So we did, and we moved to Arrowton. And it has, touch wood, been very successful so far.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that you're still here, because we have got some amazing pieces of glass at home that my parents bought, maybe 30, 40 years ago. They're absolutely astonishing. Can you just tell me what it is you do with glass? Because you make these beautiful pieces. In fact, there are some in front of us at the moment.
Yeah, I brought one or two examples in just for people to see. Obviously, it's radio and nobody can see them, but I have to describe them. A lot of them are... we mainly work on surface decoration. That's what Dad was all about, was surface decoration and beginning to move away from putting colour inside things, which was a traditional thing to do. If it wasn't clear glass, cut clear glass, you wanted to put colour on the inside. So let's move away from putting colour on the inside and put colour on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about surface techniques and decoration. So and including a lot of silver and gold leaf. Now, the silver and gold leaf thing has a bit of a story, which was that Dad commissioned the Royal College of Art, of which he was a tutor, in the earlier 60s, 1960s, and he commissioned the students to produce something that was commercially viable.
Right.
So various students did things, and the one thing that stuck out, this one student did, called William Walker.
Yeah.
Good name. He went to see a sign writer at some point. He said, the sign writer said, well, why not bung some gold and silver leaf on something? I use it in the sign writer, bung it on. So we tried it, and it worked to a point.
Yeah.
But some of the shapes weren't great that William Walker was doing. So Dad and him did that together, and Azurine was born. And Azurine became probably the mainstay of what Isle of Wight Glass made for a long time.
Yeah.
Interspersed with other things, but it really did grow the company, and the commission that William Walker got out of it enabled him to build a studio and earn a living, and it really did work very well.
So Azurine, is that the sort of really iridescent blue?
No? That it's a black background, and it has silver and gold leaf on it. I brought a piece of that today, but I've kind of moved on from that. I've seen so much of it, because it was made from probably 1979 right through to almost 2012, 2013 time. So we've moved on a bit. Let's leave that.
I mean, the pieces in front of us today, we've got one that's sort of blue and gold, and that is a lovely vase. It's about, 11 inches tall. I daren't touch it because I'm incredibly clumsy. But if you think about... Well, I was saying earlier, it's sort of a bit like one of those Klimt paintings with all that gold in there.
Yes.
But also quite like a sort of peacock as well in terms of the iridescence, isn't it?
Okay,
And this is what I think of, this kind of finish, when I think of Isle of Wight glass from your studio.
Yeah,
I suppose most people do, because we've been doing this iridizing of things for a long time, and we've become very good at it.
Yeah.
But it does rely on a huge amount of chemicals being applied to the surface.
Yeah.
Lots of metal oxides.
Yes.
So you're having to put the metal oxides onto the hot glass. Hot glass is 1,000 degrees C at least.
Yeah.
During the working temperature. So you're applying these layers of colour on and putting sterling silver leaf on, burning mm-hmm. that out to yeah. leave a silver oxide, applying different trails with different colours and oxides on them. And then the final process, once it's been made, I mean, it's really a thing you have to see,
yes.
you know, because it is heat, fire and smoke and almost alchemy.
Yeah.
And then you spray this tin salt onto the surface and all these iridescent, you know, fantastic colours come. You can spray it various colours depending on the heat and the layers of colours that you've applied to the surface.
I mean, it does look very, very metallic. Do some people think...
But there is metals in it.
Yeah.
I mean, and some people think they're ceramic because, again, we're talking about surface decoration.
Yes.
You know, ceramics are... They're opaque, so you can't see through them. A lot of the work that we do is opaque. You can't see through it. It's not immediately recognisable as a piece of glass.
Yeah.
And I suppose because of the technique you're using in producing something like this, every piece is different. Everyone's
yes.
an original and one-off.
Yeah, I treat the pieces of glass like people.
Yeah.
They're all individuals, but they all belong to a family.
Now
so you can make a group of shapes
yeah.
all with the same pattern on, but they all will be different.
You see, when I look at that, I agree with James, it does look very Klimt-like.
Yes.
But it also sort of reminds me of the night sky over the island in some way.
Okay,
well,
this piece is Dad's design. Uh-huh. It's a piece of nightscape.
So I wasn't far
well
wrong.
Done.
Absolutely correct. It is the sea at night, or
oh,
a
how
view
interesting.
Of the sea at night.
Oh, yeah. That's really interesting, because yeah. there
Fantastic.
Is that sort of pattern, that sort of almost Art Nouveau sort of feel
yeah.
about the curves. Do you agree with
yes,
that?
Yes, I do. And iridization, the French did quite a lot of it
yeah.
during the 1920s.
Mm.
So that has another link to that sort of,
yes.
That you know, craft thing that was going on
yeah.
in France and things.
Well, Tim, stick with us, because we need to get some Ed Sheeran in now. What I'm going to do is ask you about your other pieces, but also ask about the experience of coming to your studio at Arrowton Barnes
okay.
and what people can expect when they come there. So stick with us, and we'll be back in just a few moments. She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell... Ed Sheeran. And that's Galway Girl. We're here with Timothy Harris from Isle of Wight Studio Glass. I've got it right this time. Tim, I'm really, really pleased to have you here, because what you do for the island is fantastic. What you create is effectively the best present anyone could bring back from the island, I think, to the mainland.
Thank you for saying
because
that.
Because it is so beautiful, and it sort of encapsulates... I hope, you know, the best of the island, because you've got these island themes.
I guess we have. You know, I guess subliminally, whatever I do or my father did before me is influenced by our surroundings.
Yeah.
And our surroundings are beautiful.
Mm. Well, let's talk about your new surroundings, which is at Arrowton Barn. It's a lovely place, isn't it?
Yes, it's a nice spot to be. You know, we look at the old church and green outside the windows, and it's great, and we're there busy. You can come and see us blowing the glass, making things with all the heat, fire, smoke, everything that's going on, and a nice smart shop.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, you can come to Arrowton Barnes for the day, actually, because
you can, because there are other craftspeople all working very hard,
yeah.
To make a living and make very nice things.
There's also a good pub for people who don't know Arrowton Barnes. Lovely pub. There's a great shop called Farmer Jack's, which is terrific island food. And there's the Shipwreck Museum. And in fact, in a few minutes, we'll be getting Kristen in from the Shipwreck Museum. But if people come to see you, Tim, what will they actually see? Is it just a shop?
No, not at all. We're making product.
Yeah.
Every day, 7 days a week.
So you are actually in front of all the customers blowing glass.
Yep, we have you come into the studio, and the main entrance is straight into the what we call the hot shop,
yeah.
where everything happens, where everything is made. So you can watch me make things most of the day, and And we have a viewing gallery, so you can view it very easily. And we'll interact with you, ask any questions, whatever you want, as long as they...
Have you ever had anybody commission you on the spot to do something?
We're very lucky that way, because I think once people have seen it made, they appreciate what's involved.
Yes.
And so if somebody came to you and said, look, I'd really like an iridescent bowl, can you create one for me while I watch? Would you do that? Or is that
not very often? It usually has to be thought about a little bit more than that. And we have, usually our day is set.
Yes.
We're making X, Y, and Z on a day, because you've got furnace, you've got a big dragon in the corner of the room eating money all day long. The gas bill is enormous.
Is it?
Yeah. So you have to make sure that the hours that you're in front of it are absolutely, you're making things terrific all the time, really.
And if people want to get ideas with commissions, I understand there's a museum next door, which is a little bit separate.
There is. It's a separate entity, but it's a museum that charts what really has gone on the island to do with glassmaking, which is tremendous, really. I mean, there's a lot gone on from what my father did right through to other people and other makers, and it displays and charts that history.
Terrific. And there are hundreds of pieces of your work in that museum and your father's work.
So
if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way of finding out more?
The best way, I guess...
The website,
I guess. The website, yes, which is www.isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk.
Fabulous.
The email address is info@isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk.
Yep.
And the phone number is 01983 85... Oh, I forgot my own phone number.
Oh,
it
don't
is
worry.
522-339.
Perfect. Now, I think the best thing people can possibly do is, if they're on the island, just pop into Arrowton Barns and to see you. Are you open all week?
Yes, we're there 7 days a week. The site is open 7 days a week, as I say. And we're making glass most days, almost 7 days a week if we can. We have to fill the furnace up with raw materials at least once a week, maybe once every other week.
Yeah.
It takes a few hours to melt, so it gives us material to carry on.
Great.
But the shop is open. Certainly, there is something going on, something to look at. You will be, pleased and amazed if you see glass being made, how involved it is.
No, it is wonderful. I've been to see it, and it's really exciting. Judith?
Well, I just think it's so fantastic, because so many people travel to Italy. They go to Venice, don't they? They take the boat. They go to Murano to see the glass blowing there. And hey, you can do it here on the island, and it's completely free.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the glassware we're talking about is very, very special. I think we're just going to end, Tim, by looking at two more of your pieces. I have seen your pieces in Harrods. You used to sell in all the best stores in the country and overseas, but now it's direct, isn't it?
Yeah, most of it is direct through the website, through our shop. We supply a few retailers up and down the country, but it's all about dealing with the customer directly.
Yeah.
I think it's most of what we do is quite a considered purchase. It's not a can of baked beans.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a commodity. So we have to bear that in mind, very much so. And it's all about dealing with that individual customer's requirements.
Yeah.
And I hope we do that, and we do that well. The other piece that I've got in front of me is a piece of what we call stratum, which is patterned with multicolored stripes running through it in an odd direction up and around.
Yes.
Which depicts the strata of rock. So you've got layers of color, and it has quite a matte surface to it. I mean, there are lots of different shapes, different sizes, different price structures.
Yeah.
Have a look.
It's very, very, very beautiful, that one. It reminds me of a bit of the sort of marbling technique I've seen in Turkey, where they're sort of marbling silks.
Like a bit of batik or something that you've scratched through and revealed another color, and then scratched you again and revealed another color.
And also something you really want to touch, because it's got this lovely feel to it.
Of what we do is enormously tactile.
It's incredible, because Tim's brought three pieces in, and I just wish our listeners could see them, and they are all just so different.
Yeah, I mean,
and also very beautiful in their own way.
The third one looks like a ginormous Ferrero Rocher, but a lot posher. Yeah. That's extraordinary. It's gold, it's sort of crackle gold, but huge amount of texture to it, even though it's, you know, completely spherical.
Exactly. It's a sort of a citrus, it's a chartreuse green. Under on top of that, there is a little bit of black powdered glass, and then on top of that is actually sterling silver leaf, which has been split using a technique which the Victorian glassmakers did, which was to immerse it whilst you're making the glass still hot into water, and it would crack the surface, and then you would continue to blow it, and stretching those and opening those cracks and fissures up, so you get this nice sort of crackled surface on it, revealing the colour underneath.
No, it's absolutely astonishing. Well, look, I hope a lot of people from listening to this come and see you, because we don't have an island national treasure, but if we did, I think, you know, you should be it.
Absolutely.
Because thank you very much.
I mean, what you do for the island is superb, but you know, please do go and see for yourselves. It's amazing. Go to Arrowton Barnes, to the Isle of Wight, Studio Glass. Would you call it a furnace or a works or a...
Well, it's the studio. It's the hot shop. Is where all the hot things happen. There's various bits of equipment that are all nice and hot, and maybe on a very sunny day you might sort of bring a drink if you're going to come and watch.
Yeah, good idea. But, I'm sure you'll be able to get one in the pub there.
It's good and drafty through there. You know, there's plenty of air. So it's but it is a really good spectator sport, and people do really enjoy watching.
Well, Tim, thanks very much for joining us today, and we hope to be at Arrowton Barnes very soon to see you there.
You're very welcome. Thank you. www.vectisradio.com.